I'm going to try to have the verses up on the screen just for your reference. But I don't understand why Ezekiel 18:20 doesn't settle this issue. You explain it to me. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not me, if Adam sins. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. It sounds like it's saying, I don't inherit the guilt of the sin of Adam. That's what it sounds like it's saying. Neither my father or Seth didn't get it from Adam. Will you explain for us?
Well, that's in the Mosaic Covenant, talking about the civil law. And it's saying that the sins that we do in the civil law, like in this world, we don't go to jail for someone else's sin. But Adam is a perfect representation of mankind that God set as a federal head over mankind and therefore represents us, and that's why everyone does what Adam did in sinning. Therefore, he's the perfect representation of mankind, and they are all justly under the curse. That's federal headship. Christ is the federal head in salvation, and Adam's the federal head.
Are you saying this is talking about physical death here?
What?
He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're saying that this is talking about physical death? I mean, that's what I thought. I just heard you say that it's only talking about civil law. But, right? Is that what you said? It's talking about physical death and not spiritual death?
It's talking about in the context of the Mosaic Law, where it's a theonomic community, where there's the death penalty for sins. Not that every sin requires the death penalty, but basically the sons aren't put to death for the sins of the father.
So in Ezekiel 18:26... it says, when a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, that's physical death, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. That he's already physically dead, so this is talking about spiritual death. See that in verse 26? He dies in his sin physically, just like Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Physical death, our fate is sealed. He's saying, here's a man that commits iniquity, he dies in them physically. It says, if that happens, he's going to die spiritually. This is talking about spiritual death. In what verse? That's the same chapter, Ezekiel 18, verse 26. Verse 20 says, and we know this is talking about spiritual death because of verse 26. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I don't die because of Adam's sin. You don't inherit sin, the guilt of sin, from anybody else is what this is saying. Your father, Seth didn't get it from Adam. I didn't get it from Adam. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So if Adam commits wickedness, then he gets. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We physically die because of sin. I think I can't ask you whether you believe that or not, but physical death came into the world because of sin.
That's exactly right. But this is not talking about physical death. We know that from verse 26. It's talking about spiritual death. It says the person that dies in his iniquity shall die. That's spiritual death. He's already died physically. This is talking about spiritual death.
I think that's just a Hebrew idiom of dying, he shall die. It's a way that Hebrew speaks of, like, he shall surely die. It's a way that Hebrew gives emphasis.
Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 7:29, friend.
Yeah.
Okay? Who is the they? It says, God made men upright. The King James says, but they have sought out many inventions. I'm not talking about light bulbs here. I've got mine on right now.
Okay. Yeah, mine's on as well.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
But they have sought many devices. Who's the they there? Who's the they? It's
mankind.
A plural pronoun.
It's mankind is made.
Yeah. So it's more than just Adam and Eve in the garden then, if it's mankind.
No, it's just saying mankind. He made man. It's not speaking of him individually making every single man. And then, yes, all men, mankind, seeks out sin.
So they is plural, and there's many devices here.
But it's man that's made. It's in Hebrew, it's just Adam. It's man.
Right. Just like...
Speaking of mankind.
Yes, like, let's go to, I don't know if I should spend this much time on this, but is it Genesis 6, verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. That's mankind. That's
right.
All of mankind. Man, a lot of times, refers to mankind, not just one man. We know this is referring to more than just Adam and Eve in the garden. God destroyed man and the flood. Not just one man,
but
mankind. This is...
Man seeking out many devices is not... That's the reason they do so has nothing to do with the fact that they're made upright. You're
right.
Making a connection that's not there.
That's exactly... You're exactly right. That's the point I'm making. They're made upright. It's a they. That means more than Adam and Eve in the garden. And the reason that they're not upright anymore is because they sin. They seek out many devices.
Because of the curse, they're no longer upright. The curse
no.
means they're not upright. Man was made that way, and we are not now as we were made.
But the verse says they're not upright because they sinned. They saw not many devices, and it's they. No, it's not Adam and Eve.
That's not why they're...
Is that my 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I had 20 more questions.
You get another five.
Go ahead and ask me. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Oh, I had this preset number six. Yeah. There we go.
That was really 5 minutes? You weren't cheating me, were you? I spent way too much time on two passages, but...
Okay, if we're all upright, why do we all sin?
The same reason Adam and Eve sin and all regenerated people sin, because they choose to sin.
Why does everyone make that same choice?
Well, everyone doesn't. Jesus didn't. He was born tempted.
Everyone besides Jesus.
For the same reason that Adam and Eve sin and all regenerated people sin... Because they choose to sin. Even according to your position, regenerated people sin because they choose to sin, not because they're born that way.
Why does everyone make the exact same choice?
I've already answered that question twice. Because for the same reason Adam and Eve sin, and the same reason every single person who's been regenerated sins. Because of choice, not by birth.
Is Scripture falsifiable? Like, can it say something about man that is not true in the future? So,
Scripture falsifies any position is false. You can falsify a certain position. I'm trying to falsify your position in the debate tonight.
No,
I'm not sure that's what you mean.
Scripture. Can Scripture say something that will eventually not be true?
No, it's inerrant.
So all those passages I read will always be true of unbelievers.
They're true about every man, unbelievers and believers. So,
okay.
Every sinner is depraved, and none of them are born that way.
So you agree with total depravity?
Okay, I do. But I don't mean the same thing you mean by it. I mean what you mean when you talk about a homosexual or a person having sex with an animal is depraved. I mean what the Bible means by it. I don't mean that the gospel is not powerful enough, Romans 1:16,
to bring that. I never said that. You know I don't mean that.
I know. I'm telling you. The difference between your position and my position. I believe in depravity, but it does not mean that the gospel is not powerful enough to bring him out of that depravity.
Absolutely not. Is there anyone in the future that will not be or might make the right choice? They're upright and they might make the right choice not to sin. Is that possible?
It's possible, but nobody ever does it.
Why not?
For the same reason that Adam and Eve sinned, they had choice, and why you believe every single regenerated person chooses to sin. That's why not.
So there's no mechanism that makes them sin?
No. You're never made to sin.
So it could be that they don't do it.
Look,
there's nothing that makes them do it, right?
Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. That'll answer that question directly. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time, but 1 Corinthians 10:13, everybody turn there. It'll answer Traver's question. There hath no temptation you taken but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you, not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God, nothing ever makes you sin. It's always your choice. God always provides a way of escape.
If nothing makes us sin, how can you be sure that there might be somebody that doesn't sin? How can you be sure that won't be the case, that there might be someone that doesn't sin?
Okay. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 10 says, if anybody claims they don't sin, they're a liar. The Bible never teaches you have to sin. The Bible always teaches that all sin, Romans 3:20, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It never says they had to. It says they chose to. Man does.
Why do they all choose to?
For the same reason you believe that every regenerated person chooses to sin.
So there's no mechanism that happen.
Is there any mechanism that forces a regenerated person to sin? Or is it by choice?
They have two natures still. I'll get to that in a second.
So,
I'm asking the same question over and over,
and I'm going to answer it the same way.
David was brought forth in iniquity and sinned his mother. How did his mother sin in conceiving him? How did David's mother sin?
In sin did my mother conceive me? I don't know. It doesn't tell us, but we do know this.
But she did sin in conceiving him.
We know his mother was in sin. If I say, in anger did my brother hit me, it's not saying I'm angry. It's saying my brother was angry. So if it says in sin did my mother conceive me, it's clear his mother was in sin when he was conceived.
Not in sin, in conceiving him. Your analogy makes it so that in conceiving him, she does not sin.
No, I don't think that's what it's saying.
You don't believe he's speaking of his own nature.
No.
He's
talking about his mother.
Sinfulness.
If that's David talking about, he's talking about his mother.
But you don't know how she sinned in conceiving him.
No, so the sin was not necessarily in conceiving him. She was in sin when she conceived him. Okay? That's what, you can laugh at it, but that's what the verse says.
He says, I was brought forth in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
He's trying to speak of the sinfulness of his mother, or is he speaking of himself?
His mother.
And this psalm, in that context,
if
is
I say,
about his mom?
If I say in anger, my brother did hit me.
Is that what he's talking about? His
who
mom?
Was angry, my brother or myself?
Yeah, so that means that she must have been in sin in conceiving him. So what is that sin? Because
it doesn't say. All it says is his mother was in sin.
You do have to say that she did it in sin. She did something sinful in conceiving him.
No, she was in sin when she conceived him. That's what I said. Don't try to change the words.
Well, your analogy makes it that way.
No, my analogy is just, I'm not doing just an analogy. I'm just repeating what the verse says. In sin did my mother conceive me. That means his mother was in sin. There's no analogy. Just telling you what it says. Is it my turn?
Yep.
Back to Ezekiel 18. Does this really make any sense? Let's suppose I'm out here and I lose an arm in a farming accident. Does that mean my son, if I have a son after that, that he's going to be born without an arm? Trevor, is he inherit what I was born with? So you're saying Adam and Eve committed sin, now they're totally depraved, and now why does everybody else inherit that total depravity? Any more than they should be born without an arm because I lost my arm in a farming accident.
That's not a natural descent. Sin comes by natural descent. That's why Jesus was born as a virgin, so he didn't inherit his sinful nature.
So since when do you ever inherit something that happened to your parents after they were born?
Like a disease? Or some sort of genetic abnormality,
right.
that absolutely comes by genetic natural descent.
Exactly. And it was in present them when they were born. So if Adam and Eve were born, were created sinless, then they would be, their descendants would also be sinless, just like a man that loses an arm in a farming accident.
Unless they had the curse of sin upon them in which
so
they died.
Did Mary have that curse?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, did she have pain in childbirth?
Of course.
Okay, so Mary was under the curse. And Jesus was born from Mary.
Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. That's why he didn't have a natural descent by Adam and, or by
what do you
Mary
mean?
And Joseph. He's not born by Mary and Joseph. He has a virgin birth. The Spirit conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary.
Right. Right. But he was born of Mary. Mary was his mother.
But not by nature. So he doesn't inherit the sinful nature.
Okay. Was he born of Mary? And did
yes,
she have
not
a,
by
she
nature,
had total depravity.
The
so why didn't he inherit the total
because
depravity?
Because of the virgin birth. Because it
that doesn't explain it.
It comes by natural descent.
That only explains why he didn't inherit something from his dad. He had a mother, a physical mother. And if you inherit from your parents this totally depraved nature, then Jesus would have.
He didn't have parents. He didn't have natural
parents.
He had a mother. He had a mother. He didn't have natural parents. His generation was not natural.
In 2 Samuel 12:23, David's son, conceived by Bathsheba, was killed. He died. How did David know his son was going to go to heaven? He said, he won't come back, but I'll go to him. How did he know that how did David know his son was going to heaven?
Well, he took comfort in the fact that he's going to Sheol, and I wouldn't dispute the fact that he's going to heaven, but it wouldn't be, but the destination of dying infants has nothing to do with this debate whatsoever.
No,
and if you think it does, then it shows that you haven't done the work to understand this.
Okay, so I do think it does.
It doesn't.
All right, let me explain. Let me
I
ask you this question again.
They're born in sin. Yes, God will save them.
So
by
how did David know his son was of the elect?
He's assuming it.
There's
He's
no
assuming
one,
it.
No, he didn't assume it. He knew he was going to go. He
no,
knew
no, no.
that he was going to see his
God
son
God can
heaven.
Raise up children of Abraham from even rocks. Of course he can do it from infants, but he's not going to do it through the preaching of the word. So it's an unnatural means or an unnormal, abnormal means. The normal means are through the preaching of the word. Even you agreed with that. Saving of children is through abnormal means. So it has nothing to do with us. God does it on his own.
But there's no way that David could have known his son was of the elect. Here's how he knew he was going to heaven. Because babies are born innocent of sin and he never committed any personal sin.
So there's multiple ways of salvation then. You can, and the most merciful act you can do is kill a child to guarantee their eternal salvation then. This has nothing to do with the death of infants.
So in Acts 26:18,
infants can be saved because God can raise up children of Abraham from the stones. Of course he can do it from infants. He can do it in zygotes. He can do it in a little fetus that's still in the womb.
In Acts 26:18, it says Paul was sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Acts 26:18, sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Does that mean that Paul regenerated those people?
Of course not.
Okay, so it means that he opened their eyes by preaching the gospel to them, right?
Of course. We all agree on the means.
Okay. So that means everybody's eyes, if we agree on the means, is opened by the preaching of the gospel.
False. He says, the Holy Spirit tells Paul, go into that city. I have many people in that city. And he goes in the city and he preaches. And what happens is, it's like Lydia. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken of by Paul. We literally see the Spirit open their eyes to understand what's being spoken by Paul. Paul is the means by the preaching, and the Spirit does it so they can respond.
So here's Luke 8:13. It's part of the explanation for the parable of the sower. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Are these regenerated people who for a while believe and then fall away? Are they regenerated or not?
No one that falls away has been regenerated.
Okay,
they went out from us because they weren't really of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained, but they went out to prove that they were not really of us.
Save that for the once saved, always saved debate.
They're not regenerated,
but it says they heard the word and they received the word. How, if they're not regenerated, could they hear and receive the word?
People who join the church that are false believers.
No, I'm asking you. That's not what it says. If they're not regenerated, how did they hear and receive the word, according to Luke 8?
Because they have natural ears to literally hear it. There's people that
they receive the word. All right, your turn. I don't mean to get argumentative here.
We're fine. All right, Romans 5 says, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned.
That proves my position. Why did death go to all men? Spiritual death.
I haven't asked my question yet.
Can God
put to death those that are not guilty? Can God justly put those to death that are not guilty?
Put them to death physically or spiritually?
Either.
Not spiritually, he doesn't. He never puts to death spiritually anybody that's not guilty. This verse says in Romans 5, verse 12, that people die spiritually because of their own sin. That proves my position. Not because of Adam's sin. It doesn't say...
Death entered the world through one man.
Yeah.
So sin, everybody dies because of Adam.
This is talking about spiritual death, not physical death. Nobody dies spiritually because of Adam. Adam died spiritually because of his own sin, and then it says, death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Not because of Adam. This verse proves my position. Everybody dies spiritually because of their own sin. Everybody see that in Romans 5?
How does death enter the world through one man? How's that just? For God to do that, if
Adam sinned and he died spiritually, that's perfectly just. He died spiritually because of his own sin. We follow in his footsteps. We die spiritually because of our own sin. That's the last part of the verse. Everybody dies because of they sin. That's what the last part of the verse says. Not because of Adam's sin.
It says that through one man, sin entered the world.
He's the first one to sin. Before he sinned, there was no sin in the world. Yeah,
then why does everyone else sin?
For the same reason you believe that every regenerated person sins. For that same reason.
Because
there's a choice there and we all choose to do it.
I don't think you understand my position on that. I'll get to it. But
okay.
How is it just that everyone dies and sins with no mechanism? How is that possible? There's no mechanism to make man sin, but everybody sins. Billions and billions and billions of people do the exact same thing as Adam, but you deny that he's a perfect representation of mankind?
That's the reason it is just. Because God doesn't force anybody to sin. If he forced them to sin, it would not be just to condemn them. He's talking about a mechanism. The reason it's just is because everybody chooses to sin.
If it was
the other way around, it wouldn't be just.
They all die because of the curse.
Because of their own sin.
Does everyone physically die because of the curse of sin?
Here's why everybody physically dies. Adam sinned, he was driven out of the garden, and everybody lost access to the tree of life. Okay? Physical consequences. Like maybe a mother does drugs while she's pregnant. And the baby has physical consequences. Maybe he's addicted to drugs when he's born. But it doesn't affect whether or not he goes to heaven or not. Her sin does not affect him spiritually, only physically. So we're affected physically by Adam's sin.
Does repentance need to be granted to us?
Yeah, Romans 2 verse 4 says, the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. So the way he gives it to us is by leading us to it. He calls us to repent. Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. So obviously, the gift of repentance can be refused because many are called to repentance, but few are chosen.
In what sense can it be said to be granted then, in your teaching? It's the same thing. Everyone has that. Do you ever
pray the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread?
Yeah.
Okay. Does God give that to you against your will, or does he do it through means? Your job. So he gives it to us, but we have to go out and work our jobs to get it.
Yeah, but I'm not asking about the means. We all agree on means. How is it granted as a gift?
Through means. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. So he gives us the gospel. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. The gospel says, you turn and serve the Lord. because you owe it to him and because you want to avoid the bad place and go to heaven. And when we are convinced, God convinced us through the Word of God.
So the ones that are convinced, they're smarter, more humble, more obedient? What is it that makes them better?
Yeah.
Makes them make the right
They
choice?
Have a good and honest heart. That's
in so they're better people. So God just saves the best.
No, God saves anybody who's willing to trust and obey Jesus.
The best
Hebrews 5 verse 9 says, Jesus is the author, the source of eternal salvation to all them that obey him.
Says he's so the God, author of faith as well.
So God shows no partiality. He'll save anybody that trusts and obeys
Sounds
Jesus.
Like you're saying that he saves the smartest ones.
No.
They're
no.
making the smartest
1 Corinthians
decisions.
1 says basically the smart people are saved a lot less often than the people that aren't so
but
smart.
But there's nothing that sets those people apart other than their own choice. Why do they make the right choice? What made them better and smarter and more humble?
Because, like it says in Ezra 7 verse 10, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law and the law of the Lord to do
apart
it.
Apart from grace?
So, no, you can't be saved without grace.
So is grace effectual or not?
It's very effectual. Anybody who's willing to trust and obey God, James 2:24, you see that how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. It takes trust and obedience. Anybody that's willing to do that, God's not partial. He'll save anybody. Jesus died for everybody. We learned that last week. So that anybody who believes can avoid perishing and be saved. John 3:16.
So is grace just a tool that we can take up when we see fit? It doesn't actually do anything. I think I'm out of time. I got it. Do you know what I'm saying in that question?
I believe in grace just like you do.
I'm not sure you do. I think we have a very different view of grace.
I guess so.